shake. Sky began to cry. Bones began to break. The heavens opened up and reached down with a fearful lightning. Burns everything around. Where now? What you gonna do when your world comes crashing down? What you gonna do when the only one around? What you gonna do when your judgment's passed down? Yeah, what you gonna say when you're kneeling on the ground? Seven deadly plagues, seven deadly sins, seven dark horses, they come riding in. The seven seals are broke, seven trumpets blown. Cry like a baby when your future's shown. Where now? What you gonna do when your world comes crashing down? What you gonna do when the only one around? What you gonna do when your judgment's passed down? Yeah, what you gonna say when you're kneeling on the ground? The only one around. What you gonna do when your judgment's passed down? Well, what you gonna say when you're kneeling on the ground?
Greetings. Welcome to Confessing the Blues. I'm your host, Jim Ange Anderson. Today we welcome back to the show Marty Big Dog Mercer. He's here to talk about the 2017 Big Red Barn Jam, a large music festival happening in LaPorte, Indiana on July 15th. He'll also talk about some of his current exploits. Let's roll! Marty Big Dog Mercer, welcome back to the Farmhouse Studios.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
So we're here today to talk about the Big Red Barn Jam. But before we do, what's been going on since the last time I saw you?
Since the last time I saw you, what have we been doing? We've been doing a whole lot of jobs. We've been working a lot. We've done a lot of festivals this summer. We went to Ireland. I went to Ireland, actually. The whole band didn't get to go with me, but I got to go. I went with a friend of mine, Mike Boyle. I believe you know Mike.
Yeah.
And we went over there. We did two jobs and got interviewed on Radio BBC for a little while. It was really cool.
And there was kind of a round, a celebration of Rory Gallagher? Was that part of it?
It's in Warren Point, Ireland, and it's the Blues on the Bay Festival is what it's called. And every year they kind of make it a tribute to somebody. But Rory Gallagher is from Ireland. He's from Cork, which is down south in southern Ireland. And they decided this was the 19th year, and they made it into it was like a tribute to Rory Gallagher, kind of. Mm-hmm. And his bass player, Jerry McAvoy, was there and got to meet him and hang out with him. He actually came out to our second job at, it was called Ye Old Ship Inn. And he sat in the audience and watched the whole thing and shook my hand afterwards and said it was nice to hear a real blues band. So that was a really good, it was just great. The whole trip was great. I didn't want to come back at all. We got back and then we flew into South Carolina. And as soon as we got back, we're like, oh, this sucks. Let's go back. Let's just go back.
Right.
Everybody was so friendly over there, and we got back home and everybody just looked miserable. It was horrible.
But so do you think you'll return?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was told that we may be going back for the 20th anniversary. There's a possibility we'll be doing that in May of 2018. But whatever chance I get to go overseas or anywhere at this point in time, now that I got a passport, I am going.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, traveling is in my future.
And what about the audiences there?
Oh, they're so appreciative. It is not like in the States here. They're paying attention to everything you do. They don't have their cell phone in their hand. They're not looking at Facebook and doing that kind of stuff. They turned the TVs off at the one place we were at. They had the football game on. They weren't even paying attention to it. They were focused on the music, and they really, really ate it up. It was great.
I mean, that's the way that it should be.
Yeah.
You know, and yes. Probably used to be before there was all these electronics.
Yes.
But it's nice that there's a reverence an appreciation for the music that maybe because they don't get it all the time, right?
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, the promoter came out to the second job as well. His name was Ian Sands. He's a harmonica player and a singer in a band called the Blues Cats over there. And he got up and he wanted to do Messing with the Kid. And Mike and I, we only know how to play it the one way, you know, like
right.
Junior Wells and Buddy Guy. So that's how we played it. And we got done. He's like, thank you so much for playing it the real way. Because everybody plays like the Rory Gallagher version or some other version. So he was, even after we got back, he sent me a message and said it was a pleasure for him to play with us. And so that was really, it was an amazing trip. My wife got to go with me. That was awesome for her. She had never been to Ireland. So it was just, there was nothing negative about it.
And in addition to the music, you did some sightseeing?
A little bit. We didn't get to do a lot because we were only there for a few days, and we packed a whole lot into the 3 days that we were there for 4 days total, but one day was kind of traveling and stuff, and we didn't sleep for more than 20 minutes, I don't think, in 4 days. But it was great.
And Mike has some family there?
He does, and we got to meet his family. We got to go meet his it was Uncle Eugene, or Cousin Eugene, his Cousin Eugene, who was 83 years old. He's still a farmer. And we met him, and we were at his house for 2 minutes, and he said, well, when you come back, you make sure you let me know, and you can stay with us. That's just how they are over there.
Yeah.
They're so friendly and open, and it was an amazing experience. It really was.
Was there any sort of cultural surprises or differences? Like,
they don't drink coffee.
Really?
They don't drink coffee in the morning. They have what they call it an Americano, and it's like instant coffee, and that's what they serve in the restaurants. Other than that, the money was kind of weird because you've got Northern Ireland, which is owned by Britain, so they use the English pound system. Then you've got Southern Ireland, which uses the Euro system. So I've actually sitting on a handful of coins that nobody even wants, and they have to spend them next time I go back.
Right, right.
But so that was interesting. Changing the money over, driving on the other side of the road is interesting. You know, that's luckily Mike did all the driving. It was good.
Yeah.
It was an amazing experience, and I can't wait to do it again.
So eye opening in terms of travel, and you'd love to.
Absolutely. I did learn that I'm 6'10", and I learned that you have to pay money for an extended legroom seat. And even if you spend that money, sometimes you don't always get the extended legroom. And I kind of got my hip was a little bit messed up after we came back, and still a little bit messed up actually. But so I learned a lot about travel and how to. It was just great.
Yeah.
Everything about it was positive. I can't say that enough. It was so great.
That's excellent.
I want to do it again.
So you're on the radio. So, interview. Did they play some of your music as well?
I was told that they did. I handed the I can't remember. Jeez, I'm failing. I can't remember the DJ's name, but I gave him my CD and he said he would be playing it as because he was promoting for the festival and we were part of the festival. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did a lot for us actually as far as promotion. They put our name on all of the posters and had a bunch of nice pictures on the website and everything. They really promoted hard for us. It was great. Made a lot of new fans, whole lot of new fans cool. over there. Still have, I mean, I don't know. There was, you know, everybody looks at the Facebook and you get they click on the like thing if you got a band page. And we must have got, I don't know, at least another 25, 35, 40 another likes on that one alone just from that short trip.
That's great.
And, yeah, met a lot of great people, a lot of funny people. They were all in good mood. Everybody was in a good mood. They're all short, too. So I was a huge novelty.
Everybody's short to you.
Well, but they were, like, extremely short. We were standing there waiting for the DJ to get freed up, and this short little guy, just this old dude, just out of nowhere, walks up to me and goes, "Hey, you want to fight?" And he puts his hands up, and he's standing in my face. I'm like, "No, but this guy might." And I point over to Mike, and Mike's like, you know, he's it was just great. I mean, people had no issue walking up and talking to you, and they were all friendly. And and if you we were standing there, we were trying to figure out how to get into the one building that was the town hall. We were trying to go to see the Rory Gallagher exhibit, and we couldn't get into one door. And we stood there, and we obviously looked like we were lost. And people stopped. Do you need help? You don't get that around here. You know, they really don't. People are, you know, and if they do ask you for help, you're wondering what their ulterior motive is. You know, it was the people were really great.
And how was the other bands, the Irish bands, and as far as playing the blues?
It's different. You know, anywhere you go, anytime you leave Chicago, it's definitely different. We definitely have, Chicago has its own sound and its own style, and even when they're doing the same kind of songs, they just don't have it. And they practice real hard to try to get the sound, but they're a great band still on top of that. I mean, we heard three or four other bands, and they were all top-notch. Fantastic players, really nice people. But it doesn't sound, you know, it's not exactly the same.
It's not,
you know?
Chicago blues.
Yeah, it's like a version of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little bit different, which is fine because I do a version of it too.
Right.
You know, but it wasn't like, I don't think we heard one band that was like, wow, that's like authentic Delta blues or Chicago blues or anything. Well, one thing, you got a guy with an Irish accent singing it. So that does change things. But everybody we met was great. Everybody.
That's quite a highlight. What else is going on in the big dog world?
As soon as we came back, we've had just a long line of festival dates and really nice outside dates. We were in Baroda, Michigan at the Round Barn Winery, the Taste of Joliet, Orland Days. We've done a whole bunch of those. We've done Starved Rock Lodge. We were just out there on Friday. That was a great job outside. Beautiful weather.
Mm-hmm.
Great scenery.
And you're back at Shaw's downtown?
Yes, they brought music back again. I am there twice a month again on the second Tuesday and the fourth Wednesday. Excuse me, I'm going to mess this up. It's the second Tuesday and the fourth Thursday of every month. They changed it on me, so that's why it's not straight in my brain.
Right.
Yeah, no, I love that place. Shaw's is, it never fails to satisfy. We play a game while we're there. We try to figure out how quiet we can actually play. And at times the crowd, the audience out there is way louder than we are. We can hear them talking and laughing and giggling, and we can still hear what we're doing, but they're definitely louder than we are. And it's not easy to do that. It's really not easy to play at a very quiet volume and still keep the intensity and the energy and the fun level up.
Right.
And we've kind of figured out how to do that.
And I'm sure the management appreciates that.
They do. They love it. And we've taken that into other venues as well. And I actually, because we learned how to do that standing on the stage at Shaw's, I've taken that formula and I've been able to take it other places. And, you know, it works out well for us. But, I mean, playing quiet is not easy. You know, it's really not easy.
Yeah. I mean, you look at some of these old clips of Muddy Waters, and they weren't playing loud. I mean, mm-hmm. I love Jimi Hendrix and love Stevie Ray Vaughan, but they kind of really turned up the volume on our music.
Yes, absolutely.
And a lot of people don't know how to play quietly, mm-hmm. or dynamically even.
Dynamics is another big thing. Yeah, definitely dynamics. There's been a lot of versions of my band where there were no dynamics. It was just like there was the great musicians and everything, our energy and the volume level and everything was just always just flat, and it was it never went up or down or anything. And the older that I get and the more that I play, I realize how important that is to build up a song, not just like build up the set list and go from slow song to fast song in the middle of it, but build up a song itself. And you can snap it down quiet without being overly dramatic or being, it's just, you play around with the melodies and with the volume of everything, and it makes for the listener it's better, for the musicians it's better. It's pretty cool when you're standing on stage and you're playing music and you can talk to your drummer, you know, or you can talk to the bass players on the other side of the drummer and they can hear you, and you're still playing music, you know, and you're not that loud.
And so, you can see people in the audience talking and not yelling at each other.
Absolutely,
absolutely. So Shaw's, in addition to being a cool gig right downtown, you're playing for tourists, but I'd seen that you had met some famous people there.
Yeah, you never know who's going to walk in the doors. That's another thing. We met Jimmy Buffett there last year. And that's a pretty good story, actually. I'll tell it just the way I always tell it. At Shaw's, you take a certain amount of breaks. And on the second break, I got done after eating my meal, and I went into the washroom to wash my hands, and there's this short little dude standing next to me in a suit. And he actually looks like he's wearing his dad's suit. He just doesn't look like he should be wearing a suit. And he looks at me and says, "Hey, can you play Margaritaville?" And I went, no, we can't do that. He goes, "Oh, well, could you play Sweet Home Chicago?" I'm like, "Yeah, we can totally do that, man. We're a blues band. We can play that for you, no problem. And he says, "Well, the reason why I asked you if you could play Margaritaville is because Jimmy Buffett's out in the audience." And I was thinking, yeah, I've heard that stuff like that before, and whatever. I wasn't even a huge Jimmy Buffett fan, you know. I mean, his music's okay. I have respect for what he's done, but it's just not my style. And so anyway, he goes, "Well, if you could play those Sweet Home Chicago for me, I'd really appreciate it." And he's like, "When we go back out there, I'm sitting at the bar. If you look two seats to my left, you'll see it's his manager, and then it's Jimmy Buffett sitting there." And I went, "Oh, okay, great, man, whatever." And I go back out, and I stand on the little stage area that they've got for us, and I look over, and I do see some old guy sitting there, but he just looked like some old dude. He looked like anybody. Right. And the comparison that instantly came to my mind was actually the actor Larry David is what he looked like.
Okay, yeah.
And he just looked like some old dude. And we played our third set, and I was watching over there as we're playing, and I'm looking at him, and he's not paying attention. He's hacking it up and laughing with everybody at the bar. And I thought, okay, well, no big deal. We get done, and I decide that, well, if this is Jimmy Buffett, I'm actually going to take a picture of it so I can prove that, hey, Jimmy, and I can say Jimmy Buffett was in my audience, if nothing else. And I hold up my phone to go take a picture of him, and he points at me, and I'm like, oh, no, he just busted me taking a picture of him. And this little dude comes walking over, and lo and behold, it's actually Jimmy Buffett. And he was like, it was like talking to you. He was like the coolest little dude. I call him a little dude because he's like 5'4" or something, you know, and I got pictures standing next to him. He comes up to my hip. He was really cool and really liked our music. And he started, said that he saw us there before and was a fan of ours.
Wow.
And then not only that, he started listing off the songs that we had just played by name and even my original songs. He knew the names of them because I say, hey, this one's called this and this one's called this. And he remembered them. And he came up and he was asking me about my music, and then he saw my amplifier and he was talking to me about my amp and he was asking about my guitar and stuff. And I told him all about that information, gave him my CD. And then he says, "This is really good music." He says, "You know, I've got XM satellite radio." And he says, "I think I'm going to put this on here." I said, "Oh yeah." He says, "You know why I can do that?" I go, "Why?" He goes, "Cause I own the damn thing." I'm like, well, that's awesome, man. Thanks.
Yeah.
So as I'm sitting here laughing and having a good time with him, all of a sudden his chauffeur comes walking up. The little dude was his chauffeur what it turns out to be. So his chauffeur walks up and says, "Mr. Buffett." And he goes, "First of all, you guys need to call me Jimmy. I'm not Mr. Buffett. That's my dad and my uncle. But I'm Jimmy." I'm like, "Okay, hey, Jimmy. I asked him if he played Margaritaville, and he said no, he wouldn't." I'm like, oh, man, the dude just threw me under the bus. You know? Like, I can't believe he did that to me. And Jimmy Buffett looks at me and goes, "Well, why not?" And I said, "Well, I don't want to, you know, I didn't want to mess it up. I figured I'd leave that for the professional. If you're sitting in the audience, why would I do your song? You know, I don't want to mess it up." And he's like, "No, you should do it. And as a matter of fact, you should do a blues version of it." And he stands there like pretending like he's playing guitar, air guitar. And he starts going through the chord changes and singing a song and telling me how I need to write the song, rewrite it and do a version of it. And I'm like, "Are you for real?" And he's like, "No, I'm serious. You should totally do it." And then he asked me, he says, "What are you doing tomorrow night or the next night?" I was two nights away. And I said, "Well, I'm booked over here. Why? What do you got going?" He's like, "Oh, I'm in Tinley Park." And I'm like, "Oh, I wish I could. I wish I could have said that it was free, because you never know what could have happened. You
come out and play your blues version for him on the big stage."
He was cool. He threw some money in the tip jar. He shook everybody's hand, and he was in there, and nobody knew who he was because I'm telling you, he didn't look like Jimmy Buffett.
Right.
He looked like some old dude wearing khakis and a sport coat. He wasn't wearing flip flops and his Bermuda shirt and a big floppy hat and with an acoustic guitar. So he just looks like anybody else.
Wow, so that's a great story.
It was really neat. So it turns, I'm still not a huge Jimmy Buffett fan. I don't really like his music all that much, but it turns out he really likes ours, so that's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, that's totally excellent.
Yeah. I didn't tell when the chauffeur came up and told me that he was out there. I didn't say anything to the band because I didn't want them to start acting funny just in case it was, you know. Yeah. And even after we're sitting here talking to him, you mentioned Eddie, the drummer, Eddie Fell. He was with us. And he thought, even at the end of it, he's like, was that really him? Are you sure that wasn't an impersonator or something? Right. I'm like, who's going to impersonate that guy, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I still pick on Eddie about that when he calls him an impersonator. That's funny.
Okay, well, let's get to the topic at hand.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the
Big Red Barn Jam.
Yeah, and you did this event last year. Can you talk about it?
It was great. It's a beautiful setting. It's a family-owned farm, and they decided to start doing a music festival. I don't remember exactly what sparked the interest with him of doing this, but they did it very well. And last year they broke it up. They had two stages. One stage to the over on the one side was just for strictly blues, and the one on the other side was strictly rock. And it was nice, and it worked out well to some degree, and they tried to stagger the band so that one wasn't playing over the top of the other and so that everybody could see it. But once people kind of got their seats in one in front of one stage, they didn't want to move to the other stage.
Right.
So there wasn't really a lot of intermingling. So what they've done this year is they're not using the one stage, and everybody's just on what they're calling the main stage. And so that draws a focus all into one area. And it was nice. They had on the blue stage, we did I don't remember the very first band that played, but then it was Omar Coleman Band, then myself, and then the Rockin' Johnny Band. They were done after that. And then I really don't remember any of the rock and roller guys over on the other side because we weren't over there. We were completely on the other stage. But everybody that we ran into, again, they were very nice. And they had food. They had food out there, and they had some kind of a beer truck out there. I don't remember exactly what that was, but they had an art exhibit that was going on in there. Very nice. And this year, what they're deciding to do is they I think they did it on Sunday last year. Maybe it was on Saturday. Anyway, they're offering camping this year so that you can go there and enjoy all the festivities and not have to get back in your car and drive home.
And this year, it's Saturday, July 15th.
Correct.
Kicks off at noon, doors open at noon, right?
Yes.
And there are tickets available for a discount online, and you go to bigredbarnjam.com, right, to find out. So Omar was there last year. Omar is going to be there again this year.
Yes.
They're on at 4 o'clock. So let's listen to Sweet Little Woman from Omar Coleman.
All right.
There's a pretty little thing that lives down the street. She's the kind of girl that I like to meet. A sweet little woman with a pretty smile that drives me wild. See how a man can be. We'll be right back.
that sweet woman. She drove me wild and made me smile. Oh. The door burst open and there I stood, yeah. Scared for my life, oh, I ran real good. Thought I wanted that woman, but that man's wife ain't worth my life.
Talking about the Big Red Barn Jam, 4555 West Johnson Road in LaPorte, Indiana, July 15th. Trevor Sales, who is the organizer, couldn't make it today, but he wanted me to say his mission statement is the Big Red Barn Jam will be a main stage festival from start to finish, live music, which means more music per dollar for you. At the Barn Jam, the musical genres lie somewhere between classic blues, blues rock, and rock and roll, with a couple of outliers here or there. And at the end of the day, you'll be rocking. So hey. That's, yeah. So Trevor, the organizer, has relocated to, I think, Texas.
Yeah.
And couldn't make it for this interview. So we're going to shout out to him. I know he's going to spread the word to all his people.
Yes. The whole family, like I said, it's a family-owned and operated farm. I don't know if they still, I said family-owned and operated, but I don't know if they're operated. But it's a family-owned farm, and it's been in their family for a long time. And everybody that we met there, Trevor and his brothers and his family and everybody, they're all super nice people, and they can tell that they've got a big love for music and obviously for the foundation that they're donating back to.
Yeah. So talk about the USA Cares. This year, a lot of the proceeds from this event goes to USA Cares. And what they do is returning veterans, when they come back from overseas, they give them support to kind of get back into lifestyle. And it's a great, great cause. So it's nice to come out and listen to some music.
And also give back.
Yeah. You talked about the family, the family that's putting on this festival. Well, this is also a family event. Fun for the whole family. Kids ages 12 and under get in for free.
Hey, cool.
You know, and also, let's look at the whole lineup here. Starting things off at 1 o'clock is a local band from LaPorte, Big Jim's Revival. Kind of a classic rock and blues band. And it's a family. It's a family band. It's John Lambaris, Nicholas Lambaris, Clayton Lambaris, Eric Keaton, Dave Keaton, and Austin Lambaris. So the story with them is that John had been playing guitar for almost 50 years and had been in multiple local bands, and he taught his two sons, Nick and Clay, to play guitar at a young age, and it helped him getting thinking about doing a family band. And then his nephew Austin had been playing some guitar too, so they all got together and put this band together. So it's fun to see, you know, a family, and there's certain magic about it.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I don't know about your family, but I had two older brothers, and I think we spent most of our time trying to kill each other. So that's really great that you can get a family and they can actually get together and rehearse music, and that's awesome.
Make music. Yeah. So they'll be on at 1 o'clock starting the show off, Big Jim's Revival.
And then at 2:30, you got the Chicago Kingsnakes.
And I must disclose, I am a member and a founding member of the Chicago Kingsnakes.
Good. I'm glad you disclosed that.
And let's play a song from my new CD, Southside Soul. Here's the title cut, Southside Soul.
Yeah. Thank you.
Kingsnakes, title cut from their Southside Soul record. And next up, we have Omar Coleman. He'll be on at 4 o'clock, and he was there last year.
Yes.
And he's got a great new record out, West Side Soul.
Yeah. Omar's fun. He's high energy as well. It's a lot of fun to hang out with him, to watch them perform. And, you know, a bunch of times I've gone and, you know, at their gig, I've sat in with them. Like, just recently was out in Park Forest or something. They did a job out there, and I went and sat in. Tom Holland was a guitar player, so I didn't even have to bring a guitar with me. That was great.
Lefty in the house. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So Omar's real good, though. He's been around. He's on Delmark Records.
Right.
Matter of fact, I think this is his third release on Delmark, I think. Second or third.
His latest one, I think, is actually independently released.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But, definitely a rising star in the blues scene.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm thinking somebody
So all this music's making me thirsty. There will be some breweries at the Big Red Barn Fest. And Greenbush Brewery will be there. The Shoreline Brewery from Michigan City, Indiana. The Back Road Brewery will be there, as well as Bell's from Michigan. There's also a full bar with wine and cocktails. How about the food? There was
There was a couple of different styles of food. They had a Mexican food truck. And they had an Italian, I can't call them food trucks, but it was like a booth. And the food was great.
Mm-hmm.
For the performers, they hooked us up with free food, and I think I sampled all of it, and all of it was great. Yeah, very tasty food.
So this year, the Greenbush Brewery will be representing, had some food there. Also the Third Base Bar and Grill. Raheem prepares chicken and waffles.
Hey.
That's the latest, right? Well, yeah. You gotta love chicken and waffles. There's also some arts and crafts and some fashion vendors. The Lux Wagon will be there. All Events Design, Remade Art, and CC's Wares, W-A-R-E-S, and Wares, W-E-A-R-S. And Once a Barn Door, I think probably like reclaimed wood.
Probably, yes. Yeah, I do remember they had some sculptures out there last year. They were really, really neat.
So it's a lot of fun. There's stuff for the kids to do. There's food. There's drinks. There's some shopping and just some interesting and unique things to do, as well as
it's a fun time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a fun time. It really is. Last year we got there a little bit early and got to hang around for a little while, and then fortunately after our job I had to rush off. We went and did another job after that. But the amount of time that I did spend there, it was great. It was very friendly people.
So what are your thoughts about performing in a festival setting versus a nightclub?
Playing at a festival is great because you got, you know, a lot of sound, and you got the sound guys, and you got the roadies to help you load your stuff on, and you can, you know, spread out a little bit more, and you can walk the stage and you can do stuff and use your stage to perform on. And then at a smaller, you know, venue, you don't have much. You're kind of elbow to elbow and everything, and you got to make that work.
And you had mentioned that the sound at this event is fantastic.
Yes. Apple Sound Productions is the company that does it. And I've known Jeff and Megan Apple for a handful of years now. And you couldn't ask for nicer people. And some sound guys that you get, I'm sure you've been through this before, they may have the greatest sound system, but they just don't care.
Right.
I don't know if they're failed musicians that can't play music, and so they decide to be a sound man so that they're still a part of the music scene. I don't know what it is, but some of them don't care. This is not the case at all with the Apple Sound Production. Jeff and Megan are great people. They actually care. Yeah. I mean, they really care if you sound good. And great people, great company, and can't say enough great things about them.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on. There's a variety band at 5:30. Mr. Funny Man. And next up, playing Chicago blues and rock, Mr. Big Dog Mercer, 7 o'clock.
Who's that?
Yeah. So who will be on the set with you?
We're doing the big band for this set. We're actually doing a five-piece band. We normally perform as a trio probably 70% of the work, but lately we've been working with a couple of horn players as well. Dennis Sinberg on saxophone will be with me, and Ty Stalen on trombone. And these two guys work really well together. And it really adds something different to my sound. And we're still doing the same thing, and we still kind of sound the thing, but with the horns, it almost adds like it's almost like added a little touch of class to what I was doing. Kind of neat.
Another texture, another voice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell us about your new album. What's the name of the record?
It's called It Ain't Easy.
Yeah?
It Ain't Easy.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Because if you're in this business, you know it ain't easy.
Well, let's listen to one of my favorites. Actually has our friend, mutual friend, Jeff Wally Walrath on this, Blues number 44. Can you talk about this cut before we listen?
Sure.
To it?
It's I wrote this song in tribute to Mr. Howlin' Wolf. There's a song that, it's actually, we were discussing this before, I'm not exactly sure who did the original version of it. It was called 44 Blues, or just called 44.
Mm-hmm.
And the version that I got turned on to in an original place was Howlin' Wolf doing it. And I really liked it, and I liked the way that Hubert Sumlin was playing guitar on that. And so I kind of started that was doing that version, and then later on I wrote my own words to it because I thought that the story could be improved. So I wrote my own story. Now I call it, instead of called Number 44, now it's called Blues Number 44. And then the number 44 keeps showing up in the song all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
The size of the gun, how old I was, and how many years I've been in jail, and the number of the train and all that stuff. Cool. And yeah.
Let's give it a spin.
Cool.
That was Blues Number 44 from Marty Big Dog Mercer. He'll be on with his band, with his quintet. Is that quintet?
Yeah, that would be a quintet. Very good.
How many people are in the trio? Or that's what I would need to know.
There's at least two of us. I know the two of us will definitely show up for sure for the trio.
You'll be on at 7 o'clock at the Big Red Barn Jam. So following you, Marty, is Big Otis, which is Rob Blaine. He'll be on at 8:30.
That's two bigs in a row.
Yeah, they gotta love it.
Yeah.
And well, let's listen to his same old blues. Big Otis, and playing some kind of rocking guitar, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a rocker. And closing out tonight from Kokomo, Indiana, More of a rock band, independent rock band, Shiny Penny, 10 o'clock at the Big Red Barn Jam. Here's their hit, Don't Believe a Word I Say.
I'm running for something completely terrifying, and I'm trying to make it my own. But I'm hoping for something that only time can show me, so I can't my head let it go. See, I just want a little peace in my mind, but the more that I learn, the harder I try. Hit the ground from the nest, and I'm still alive, but I'm failing the test. I'm living a lie, so don't believe a word that I say. I'm on the learning, and I'm full of mistakes. My brain is jumping out of place, so why am I holding on to what's in the way? Whoa, 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 whoa. I'll never know. I try to push farther and get stronger, but every thought gets harder and harder. So why can't I just let it go? Something that kills me. I'm tired of wishing for something more, when I know it's only gonna make me want a little more. I'm tired of needing something to fill me. I'm tired of seeking something that kills me. I'm tired of wishing for something more.
Well, what do you say we make some music?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do it.
Cool. One, two, three, four. Well, if you've ever been mistreated, yeah, ah, then you know what I'm talking about. Well, if you've ever been mistreated, yeah, ah, then you know what I'm talking about, yeah. I worked five long years with one little girl, and yeah, she had the nerve to put me out. I got a job at a steel mill, yeah.
And I was shucking steel like a slave. 5 long days every Friday I go to work, Lord. And I work and bring home my unpaid. I finally learned my lesson, yeah. Well, I said a long, long time ago, well, yeah, but for the lack of you, well, I was learning my lessons slow. I finally learned my lesson, yeah. I said a long time ago. Next little woman that I married, she gotta work, yeah. She gotta work and bring me some gold. I finally learned my lesson, yeah. Well, I said a long, long time ago, yeah. But for lack of you, well, yeah, I always learn my lessons slow.
Yeah.